And we ask that you send help our way tonight. As we look upon the scriptures, we ask that your wisdom will pop out of the pages and bring ventilation and instruction to our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As you turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 28, we want to begin a new series of emphasis as advised by the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, we begin our reading from verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee in the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What we call the Great Commission was actually an apostolic commission. It was given unto the apostles of Jesus. And in this verse of scripture, there are so many ingredients here, but I want to jump to the point of emphasis, which is going to form the anchor of the journey that I intend to start with us. Jesus gave us a commandment. And the commandment is in verse 19 and verse 20. He said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations. The instruction is that we will need to teach, to disciple all nations. Now, in discipling all nations, what do we teach them? What do we tell them? What do we say? What is the curriculum of this discipleship that Jesus is commanding us to go and carry out? He gives us perspective in verse number 20. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means, if we want to disciple all nations, the instruction is that we will need to bring to their knowledge the things that Jesus himself taught. See, when we go to the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you are going to find so many things that Jesus did. Some are documentaries of miracles that he performed. Some are great deeds and mighty acts of faith that he manifested. But in discipling the nations, the emphasis is to teach the nations to observe the things that he has commanded. So we need to take inventory of the things that Jesus taught, and that forms the curriculum with which we are going to disciple all nations. Hallelujah. We need to take an inventory of what Jesus commanded. Are you with me? So we need to look in scripture to find out the things that Jesus taught. We also need to look in scripture to find out the things that Jesus commanded. And not every instance that Jesus appears in scripture is a teaching. Not every instance that Jesus appears in scripture is a commandment. But the scope of the discipleship of the nations has to do with the things that Jesus taught and the things that Jesus commanded. So we are going to take a journey, and it begins tonight. First, we'll start with what I call the teachings of Jesus. So there are two aspects to this discipling the nations. The first is that we'll take a proper... I tell you, as we study, you'll find out that you don't know what Jesus taught. You think you know. Let's start, and then you will see. the teachings of Jesus are not popular. What is popular is motivational sermons, talks on prosperity and economic empowerment. And Christianity is gradually drifting to become the creation of the spirit of Mammon. But there's so much content in what Jesus instructed, in what Jesus taught. And as Christians, part of our responsibility is to be adequately mobilized to teach all nations the things he has taught and the things that he has commanded. Okay. So in view of the above, we are going to take the classic book. There are so many things trapped in the various verses that we read before we arrived at the verses of interest, which I will not want to draw your attention to because I want us to hop to the point quickly. There is a classic book of the Bible. It's actually the book of Matthew. That is the major compendium of Jesus' teaching. So I will proclaim the book of Matthew as the text that we are going to be using on this pilot program of accessing the teachings of Jesus. In order for us to benefit maximally from the book of Matthew, I need to give us an overview of what the book is about and what the book emphasizes. The perspective of Jesus that is held in the book of Matthew and the spirit and the object of the book, as the case may be. Are you there? You didn't answer me. Is that a sign that you are weary? We cannot be weary now. The reason why we cannot be weary is because the questionnaire was served somewhere in Europe. Supposed to be a Christian questionnaire to find out how much of Christianity is still in Europe. And the fundamentals of our faith were captured in the questionnaire. The reason why Jesus had to be a product of God and the woman is so that Jesus would not have heritage that is traceable to any man. If that were the case, he would have been disqualified from someone that will have the stature to satisfy the claims of divine justice as touching our salvation. So part of the anchor of our belief system has to do with the virgin birth of Jesus. He was a product of the Holy Spirit and the woman. And that's why in the book of Genesis, the Bible calls him the seed of the woman. But in this questionnaire that was administered, questions like, do you believe in the virgin birth, were asked. And only about 12 people that partook in the administration of the questionnaire believed that there was any need to believe in the virgin birth. And this happens to be some of the core pillars of our belief system. What I'm saying is that Christianity, whether you know or not, is dying. And it's dying because we have so many performers on stage that know how to say many things that are not in the Bible. In order for us to rescue traditional Christianity, we need to be people of the book one more time. And that's the attempt that we are trying to make. And we are trusting the Holy Spirit to help us in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah, your amen is still suggestive of the fact that there's weariness that is. All right, turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. I know most of you don't see what just happened there. I think in order for us to see what is going on here, we may need to go to the book of Matthew chapter 4 and maybe look upon the last verse of Matthew chapter 4. Then you will see what is going on that led to the position that we have here in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 1. In Matthew chapter 4 verse 25, alright, let's do 23 to 25. And Jesus went out about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Please, can you underline that? So the emphasis of Jesus is preaching. What did he preach? The gospel of the kingdom. And I don't want you to forget that, because it's going to determine the emphasis that we're going to be driving with. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom. That was Jesus' teaching. His emphasis was about the good news that pertains to the kingdom of God. So preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those which had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Can you see that? So it was on the strength of his healing ministry, the impact of his healing ministry was that people followed him. Can I digress and say that the accurate mode or means through which we can do effective publicity for the things of God, the healing anointing. You could see that because of the healing anointing, as a minister of the gospel, one of the utensils you need to really pray that God will make available to you is the healing anointing. That's God's means and God's mode of establishing and achieving publicity. The moment you have the healing anointing flowing through your hand, I can tell you the nations are open to you. So you could see that there was no need for a handbill here. The power of God that was upon the life of Jesus was the basis for the publicity that was responsible for the crowd that gathered around him. So we are seeing a crowd here. Are you there? That is occasioned by the potent nature of the healing anointing that was upon the life of Jesus. So we can turn to chapter 5 now. And seeing the multitudes. What brought the multitude? Healing anointing. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. You will expect that now that the multitude has gathered because of the healing anointing in the life of Jesus, that he will begin a crusade. He will begin to heal their sick. But the Bible says in this case, he saw the multitude, then he decided to climb the mountain. The reason why he forsook the multitude and took the route of mountain climbing was because he wanted to deliver a crucial message. A crucial message that has to do with the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. It was a secret he wanted to unveil. And even though there was a multitude down there, he raised the standard so that the people that came for the crusade can pay a price. If they are willing to pay a price for the things that he has to communicate with them, then they will now be qualified to receive the secret issues that has to do with the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. But unfortunately, when he raised the standard by climbing the mountain, it is only his 12 disciples that were willing to pay a price to come and attend to the issues that Jesus had to say. Do you realize that if we decide to begin to teach about the kingdom and we begin to emphasize the gospel of the kingdom, you'll find out that the seeker-friendly crowd, the seeker-friendly congregation, the ones that come for what God has, what God can give, what God is willing to release, that seeker-friendly congregation is not likely to pay a price for the deep things of the kingdom of God. So there are so many things that God can give people who are by the wayside, who are not even Christians, who are unbelievers. God can heal them. But when it comes to the issues of the kingdom, God will ensure that you are willing to pay a price in order for you to possess that which he has to tell you. So Jesus decided to raise the standard. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, when he raised the standard, only the disciples were ready to receive what he had concerning the kingdom of God. Then in verse 2 of chapter 5, the Bible says that he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying. So you will see that from chapter 5, a teaching begins. Excuse me. Who are the people that are partakers of this teaching? How many people? The disciples. By the time we are done with this teaching, you will find out that when they came down from the mountain, the crowd was still there. The crowd didn't go. But the crowd was not willing to pay the price in order for them to have access to the secrets of the kingdom of God. So the teaching concerning the kingdom of God is not a kind of teaching that the average believer actually wants. It's a teaching that reveals the uncompromising allegiance that the believer must have as he submits himself to the authority of the government of God. And that kind of truth is offensive to the flesh. It's offensive to the fallen man. And the fallen man wants to be in charge. But the gospel of the kingdom are sets of teaching that affect all aspects of human life. Are you here? All aspects of human life are captured in the gospel of the kingdom. All aspects of human life that are a result of heaven's regulation of human life is the content of the gospel of the kingdom. Okay? So Jesus will come and tell you how to deal with money. He will tell you how to deal with people. He will tell you how to deal with your wife. Tell you how to deal with strangers. All of that are teachings that have to do with the fact that if you are operating under the government of heaven, this is the expectation of life that heaven demands that you must subscribe to. So these teachings are not teachings that a carnal believer will want to subscribe to. It will cost you something to be obedient to God. It will cost you something to be in alignment with God. And if you are willing to walk with God, even if it costs you something, then you are welcome on board. It means you qualify to receive the realities of the gospel of the kingdom. Are you with me? So the book of Matthew is the textbook. It's the textbook of all the dimensions of the kingdom of God. Now, before we go on, I need to show you a phrase quickly. The phrase is in the book of Matthew. You find it 33 times. Let me show you one of the examples, one of the times that you find this phrase. You find the phrase in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So the phrase I'm talking about is the kingdom of heaven. Are you there? You're not there. The kingdom of heaven. I would like you to understand that in the entire Bible, it's only Matthew that uses that phrase. The kingdom of heaven. In fact, the way it is rendered in English language is a little bit different from the way it is rendered in the Greek language, because in the Greek language, heaven is in plural. The kingdom of the heavens. That's how it is in Greek. But the translators in English rendered it as the kingdom of heaven in singular. Now, so we are going to follow the way it is in Greek, and the reason why it is in plural is thus. I know that we all believe that God is domiciled in the third heavens. I know that is not in doubt. Are we in doubt of that? So that we'll go into that matter. The third heavens, that's where God is. The second heavens, that's where principalities, that's where demons are. And that's why the Bible says there are spiritual wickedness that are domiciled in the heavenlies. Right? And then the first heaven, that's the heavens of the earth, that is the atmospheric heaven. So we have the atmospheric heavens is above us. That's where the birds fly. That's where the planes fly. That's the atmospheric heavens. It is heaven to us. It is above us. But beyond the atmospheric heavens, we have the astral heavens where demons are domiciled. And beyond that, the astral conclave of the heavens, we have the third heavens where God operates from. Is that clear? Oh my, you're not here. Okay, because you are not understanding, I will still need to open a few more scriptures just to bring you perspective. But you see, you need to understand that phrase, the kingdom of the heavens, before you understand anything that we're going to be saying during the course of the lecture. Now, your understanding is slow, so we'll go to the book of Psalms 116, just to attempt bringing us in line. Psalms 15. Oh my God. Sorry, Psalms 115. 115 verse 16. 115 verse 16. So you will see, this is one of the other only scriptures in the Bible that renders heaven in the plural. He said the heaven, even the heavens belong to God. What's the meaning of that? There is a specific heaven he's talking about. The heaven, even the heaven. Meanwhile, in the original rendering, it reads, even the heaven of heavens, making reference to the third heaven where the government of God is established and the throne of God is domiciled. And the Bible says that heaven belongs to God, but the earth has he given unto the sons of men. The book of Matthew tries to intimate us with a government that is established in the third heavens. And the expectation of the book of Matthew is that government that is established in the third heavens is the government that rules over the hearts of true kingdom people. If you go to other gospels, you will find the word kingdom of God. But it is only Matthew that uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. And what Matthew means by the kingdom of heaven is the rule that derives from the third heaven where the throne of God is domiciled. Now, even though we are on earth, are you still with me? Oh my God. These are basic. There are issues in the book of Matthew that are very technical, for which we will need to do some calculations sometimes in order for us to catch up with the logic that is at work in some of those verses of the Bible. So we have not come to the difficult ones yet. There's nothing intellectual about what I'm saying. I'm just showing you the layout. And you are already... Someone was quarreling with me on Facebook and said, why do you think it is only your immediate congregation that is listening to you? And then because of their inability to comprehend, you shut the truth. Unfortunately, they are the only ones I can get feedback from. While you are there in California, I can't get feedback from you. And in teaching practice, we're taught how to extract feedback to know if our students are comprehending. Unfortunately, my feedback range is only in my visible congregation. So you are the ones that need the rebuke. I will channel all those rebukes that come from those avenues right to you so that you will sit up. Okay? He said the heaven, even the heaven of heavens, belongs to God. That's where God's authority is domicile. Alright? But the earth has he given unto the sons of men. So this scripture reveals the fact that the government of the earth, the government of the earth is given unto the sons of men. So you are in charge here. But it's a place where God is in charge. Is that clear? The politics of what happens in the earth will be determined by you and me. So this is the emphasis of the gospel of the kingdom. You and me, we decide to subscribe to operate under the government that is already established in the third heavens. Is that clear? So through us, therefore, the kingdom of God that is established there can come. Through us, therefore, the will of God that is established in the third heavens can come. We become instruments through which God's authority, God's will, God's dream, God's purpose can come to pass in this world of men. Exactly. So that's what the gospel of the kingdom is about. It is about the reign of God over our lives that makes us eligible to be candidates and conduits through which God can establish his intentions upon the face of the earth. So any believer whatsoever that is not synchronized with the authority of God that is domiciled in the third heaven is not a tool that is relevant in implementing the plan of God. You with me? So if we go to the other books of the Gospels, you will never find the phrase the kingdom of heaven. You will find the phrase the kingdom of God. And the phrase the kingdom of God is not exactly the same as the phrase the kingdom of heaven. The concept of the kingdom of God is the rule of God in a general way. And there is a large expanse to that concept. It includes the reign of God in eternity before time began. Includes the reign of God that was in the paradise of Adam. It includes the reign of God before the law. It includes the reign of God during the time of the law. It includes the reign of God during the church age. And includes the reign of God in the future of the eternities to come. And that's why the scripture says that thy throne of God is forever and ever. So the concept of the kingdom of God is the rule of God forever and ever. From eternity past through time into eternity future. That's a different emphasis from that which is captured in the book of Matthew. Because the emphasis of the book of Matthew, of the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, is only consistent with the church age. So it's a subset of the universal set called the kingdom of God. Are you here? And the emphasis of the kingdom of heaven is whether or not we are aligned with the government that is established in the third heavens. And if that is the case, we become the conduit pipe through which the will of God can come and through which the kingdom of God can come into the earth. Is that clear? So a believer, let me be using scripture. One scripture. Meanwhile, I have not started my script. I'm just trying to make you understand the concept. Before we now go into the three parts of the book of Matthew. The entire Matthew is divided into three parts. And these three parts have to do with significant aspects of the kingdom of heaven. Are you still with me? So there's a lot there. And maybe by the time we come tomorrow, we have prophetic power service tomorrow. It's not Bible study. The next time we show up, then I'll show you the diagram of the kingdom of God. The rule of God in the entire scripture. Then I will show you what part of the rule of God is the kingdom of heaven. In a pictorial view, just to help your comprehension, before we begin to evaluate the import of the teachings of Jesus, that it begins in the book of Matthew chapter number 5. Are you still with me? All right. So, in order to broaden our scope, broaden our understanding, I want to show you something quickly. Maybe we'll do John chapter 3. So the kingdom of God is a rule of God in a general way from eternity past through the present into eternity future. Second definition of the kingdom of God is that it is a realm of the divine life. The realm of the divine life. Because the moment you give your life to Christ, are you here? The life of God was deposited inside of you. Okay? That life of God holds the possibilities of the reign of God, as I will explain in a moment of time. Now, those teachers that are in charge of the children up there, they are becoming too excited. And the way to deal with excited children is, we have a hall that is fully air-conditioned for excited children. Alright? Please. All the excited children should be turned to that hall. They can be easily managed in that place. We have serious business to do here, and children are not part of this business. May the Lord help us in Jesus' mighty name. In the book of John chapter 3, quickly, are you there in John chapter number 3? The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot perceive the kingdom of God. Now, so, anybody that is born again has entered into the realm of the kingdom of God. But, are you there? But there's something here. Jesus said that when you are born again, you have the capacity to perceive what is obtainable in the kingdom of God. I need to explain that. How many of you have ever raised a dog before? You raised a dog before? You got a puppy and you raise it. Did you ever teach the dog how to bark? Where did the dog learn barking from? It's ingrained. It's part of the education that comes through the life that it has. So every form of life has its own consciousness and has its own education. Are you with me? Good. So, nobody taught you how to talk. The ability to speak was inside of you. It only developed. And now you speak so much English. You're highly intellectual because you developed your soul. What this scripture is saying is that the moment you give your life to Christ, the life of God comes into your vessel. And the life of God has its own properties, has its own abilities. If you grow in it, you become what it has potential to make you. Is that correct? First thing that you're going to experience when you give your life to Christ and the life of God begins to tabernacle your spirit man is that you have the ability of perception. Perception that comes by the Spirit of God. You must understand that the proof of life is consciousness. Have you ever seen someone sleeping before? In fact, I have had some friends those days that when they really sleep, they die. You can come and steal the bed and put them on the floor, take them into the forest. They will still be asleep. They are not conscious. And that's why the metaphor that the Bible uses for the dead is sleep. You know why? Because we will all be resurrected. Whether unbeliever or believer. The moment the resurrection and the life comes, namely Jesus, during the last trump, and he appears, everyone that is dead, they will have various resurrection ceremonies. The dead in Christ will rise first. The ones that remain will be raptured. The ones that are dead but not in Christ will still rise again so that they can face the judgment. But it is Jesus that will be the reason why they will rise. So in the eyes of prophecy, it is still like a sleep. We're just in a temporal season of unconsciousness from which you will yet arise. So from the eyes of prophecy, what we call death, the Bible calls sleep. Is not the end. It's not even close to the end. If like I promised We are going to use a moment to scale, to look at the passage of a believer through the tube of death. And then you will see, you will take your Christian life more seriously, especially if you understand how frail humankind is and how weak and fleeting money is. You will redefine life from the perspective of your understanding of eternity. And you will teach yourself to number your days so that you can apply your heart to wisdom. Now, so the proof of life is consciousness. So the moment the life of God begins to function inside of your heart, it brings its own consciousness, which is different from the consciousness you have because you are a partaker of human life. And the consciousness that the life of God brings into your vessel is a consciousness of the things that are going on in heaven. Heaven actually is your nationality. The day you give your life to Christ, your true nation of nationality, your nation of origin is heaven. And what the Holy Spirit does is that it brings you consciousness of your nation of nationality so that you can understand your nation, the values of your nation, the way your nation operates, and then you can function in that way. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, we went to a certain city to preach the gospel, and we were lodged in a hotel that was close to an embassy. All right? The guys in the, and the embassy was so such that their offices are there, and their dwelling places, their accommodation, their residences are in the embassy premises. Now, the guys in that place, they are in Nigeria, but they don't behave like us. They are different from us. They had, I don't know if they taught them to behave like that, but you don't need to be told that these guys are not Nigerians, even though they look like us. They are from Trinidad and Tobago. They don't look so differently from the way we do. But if you check their decorum, check their value system, check their lifestyle, is different from how we are. You see, when you give your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit begins to operate on your inside, the Holy Spirit begins to give you consciousness of your nation of nationality, where you come from, the way that nation operates, the way that layer operates. That's, he begins to acquaint you with it. And then he begins to impart the consciousness of the fact that you don't belong to this world. You are an ambassador. That just like the guys in that consulate, the guys in that embassy, you represent the interest of another nation. And what I want to do here in this Bible study is to show you the value system of our nation. Because the Holy Spirit points you to the things that are obtainable in the realm of God, in that place where God's authority rules and reigns in its fullest extent. It brings you insight into that, into how that place operates. Are you there? Good. Now, I need to tell you something quickly. Because with that consciousness is a great body. You are being introduced into a new type of consciousness about your nation of nationality, about the kingdom that you belong to. So even though you are here, you are not of here, you are not from here. It's a great body. Because the consciousness that the Holy Spirit brings into your vessel gives you a responsibility to make a choice. I'll explain myself. A choice. Once upon a time in my journey of the gospel, I think I was 5 years into marriage already, and we had a posting that took us away from where our families were to Lagos. And in Lagos, there was this lady that showed up. And according to her, I was revealed to her as her boyfriend. It was a disclosure. And I need to give you some details here. The lady is extraordinarily beautiful. As if they brought her from ice block, you know? Amen. Now, so, if you look at the lady, your flesh would desire her. Alright? But that's not all. Because the Holy Spirit is in my spirit, even though my flesh desires to even kidnap her. But the Holy Spirit in my spirit begins to unveil in my heart the values of the kingdom, of my nation, of nationality, and what I need to do to be an accurate ambassador. Are you with me? No, I heard somebody praying one day, that it say, take flesh away. There's no such prayer point in the Bible. Flesh. Flesh will still be there. The idea of the Christian life is that the energy, the capacity of the Spirit of God in your spirit is superior to the energy of lust, of flesh, of self, of self-centeredness. And the victorious story of the Christian life is our ability to yield to the Holy Spirit until He manifests His superiority over the appetites that come alongside the flesh, the appetites that come alongside our senses, the appetites. If you give the Holy Spirit half a chance, He will prove to you that He's stronger than love. So when we do counseling, and people come and say, this lust, I've been battling it for 20 years, and they exhort lust. You see, that person has not yet known the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the only personality that can introduce you to your nation of nationality. And to know what is domiciled there, to understand the commonwealth that is in that nation, that is designed to support your mission as an ambassador in this world. When you begin to know the Holy Ghost, then He begins to exercise His superior capacity. It's not as if the flesh will go. No, the flesh will still be active in spite of the presence of the flesh. Just like in spite of the presence of gravity, your plane still flies. Your plane doesn't come to erase gravity. It just manifests its superiority over gravity. So it doesn't matter if there's flesh. If you can switch on the ability of the Holy Ghost, It will, in spite of flesh, it will reveal what we call the victorious life. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, so this lady was quite charming, quite interesting. But you see, unfortunately for the lady, I had spent some good time with God over the years. My own journey in Christianity began at the age of 7. We started early. And I was introduced to prayer early, to fasting early. So the spirit had already become robust, had developed muscles. So even though I desired the girl, my flesh desired her. But what was going on my inside was an operation that was superior to any trick that the lust could play. Do you understand what I'm talking about? At the end of the day, my desire did not come to pass. Not because I was strong, but because the Spirit of God inside of me was the overcomer. So there are two things here. Are you with me? The world and Satan and demons and devils will try to use the things of this age, the things of this world, to attract your attention. And to get you to make a decision that I want to be like this world. Because if I had decided that I will go with that lady, it means I have signed a ticket, a check, that I want to be like the people of this world. It means I denied my nation. Are you here? I denied my nationality in order to take on semblance with the people of this age and to do the things that they do. When God comes into your vessel, He begins to give you consciousness of heaven. And then you have a responsibility at your fingertips. And the responsibility is to choose whether you will go with God or you will go with what the age is advertising. Are you there? So please help me ask your neighbor. Do you want to go with God? mind you, you're not here. Mind you, if you go with God, this age, this world will call you a bad name. They'll say, you're a Jew girl. Once upon a time in the village, they said we should go to the stream and wash clothes. And you know, it's an experience I would like to have. So we went to the stream. And then when we got there, the youth of the village, they were doing a picnic. So we were washing. And I was observing the picnic. So they brought some ladies out. And then they were asking questions. And the first question was, are you a virgin? So the ladies said, uh-uh. How do you expect
a girl like me to be a virgin. So, and that was the reigning thing, that you are not a virgin is you are held in high esteem. That is this age, the world. Do you understand that? So, when you don't operate that way, they will call you a strange name. But that is proof of the fact that you have decided to align with your nation of nationality. Because the Holy Spirit comes into your vessel to give you consciousness of the position of your nation. How you are expected to operate because you are part of the heavenly nation. Is that clear? Oh my. So true kingdom people decide to choose the choices of heaven. Listen to me. I'm not saying if you decide to follow the world, you are still in the kingdom of God. You are still born again. But you are not aligned with heaven. You are dislocated from heaven. So if God wants to do something in the earth, he will not come to you. Because you are more like the world. So you don't have any authority to change it. God will use people that are aligned to his government. Because through them, he can invest the authority to change the circumstances and to change the situations around them. So when you find a believer that is careless about his life, he has four men in his life that he dates, and she's so rich, her house rent is paid, she doesn't suffer to pay her bills, and then that's the life she's living, and then she ends up in church on Sunday morning, and she's weeping. And you see her, during worship, she's like... Now, you see, don't admire her. Because if God wants to do something, God will not reveal it to her. God will not choose her. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to show you a lot of scriptures. You will see that several other people, Samuel told them many things, but concerning the matters of the kingdom, he didn't tell. So there are ordinary things that you can tell people, but when it comes to the matters of the kingdom, there are specific kind of people that you can divulge those secrets to. Those are people that are aligned with the nation of their nationality as an act of their choice. This is how I want to be. And in the office, there will be temptations, there will be situations that will come your way with an intention to force your hand to behave like the people of this age. If you do, it means you have forgotten where you come from. The moment you gave your life to Christ, you became a creature of heaven. Your reality is domiciled in the third heavens. Just like someone that is initiated into water spirit, marine spirit. The person's reality, what controls the person is in the heart of the water. Your own reality is domiciled in heaven. So the Holy Spirit has a very great duty to reveal the nation of your nationality. Because you are far from home. So he begins to expose you to heavenly things. Heavenly lives, heavenly perspectives, and all of that. And the moment you decide that I'm going to align, the world will come with suggestions, come with products, come with advertisement to draw your attention. They come with all kinds of things. But in order for you to be identified as someone that is operating according to the kingdom of heaven, you must allow the throne of God that is domiciled in the third heavens to be the object of that which governs your life upon the face of the earth. That's what Jesus is trying to say. Did you get it? And so that's what the kingdom of the heavens is about. I, even though I'm an ambassador on earth, but I'm ruled from the third heavens. And what connects me to the third heavens is the Holy Spirit that tabernacles my heart. I choose what he chooses, even if the choices that I will make because he has chosen them will offend my flesh. Yeah. When you start liking a damsel like that, you start liking a damsel like that. If you want to say no, it's going to hurt you. That's what the Bible means when it said, if your eye causes you to offend, pluck it out. What it means is, if you have developed some emotion around some departures that the devil is advertising, if you decide to recover your masculinity and you turn your heart from it, you are going to feel some pain temporarily. But it's better for you to feel that pain than for you to go all the way and become a victim on the items that Satan is advertising. Do you understand that? There's no point in your life that you will outgrow Satan's advertisement. And the reason why God didn't take your flesh away is because he has confidence in the capacity of the spirit that he has deposited upon your heart. If you allow the spirit, he will overcome lust. If you allow the spirit, he will overcome flesh. If you allow the spirit, he will overcome prayerlessness. If you allow the spirit, just tune to the Holy Ghost. The things that you believe you don't have the ability to do, he's going to give you the ability. And you begin to do them with ease. You get the gist there? All right. So, maybe this night I'll just use it to introduce the subject. And then we'll begin to journey gradually, subsequently. So let me give you an overview quickly. According to the book of Matthew, there are three aspects of the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to study these three aspects in great detail. Great detail. The first aspect is what is called the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Second aspect is what is called the appearance of the kingdom of heaven. The third aspect is what is called the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. These are critical issues that we need to raise so that you can understand the burden that was upon the heart of Jesus. And Jesus instructed that the things that he taught, he said, teaching them to observe the things that I have told you, things that I've taught you, teaching them to observe the things that I've commanded you. So there are two things, the things he taught and the things he commanded. So we are doing the things he taught. And if you want to find a book of the Bible where we have the compendium of the teachings of Jesus in such an explicit mode, I recommend the book of Matthew. So who can help us again? Come to the rescue. How many aspects does the kingdom of heaven have? Yes, the first aspect, second aspect, third aspect. So for the purpose of the lectures that we'll be doing from this time henceforth, we are going to be majoring on the reality of the kingdom of heaven. And it will interest you to know that the aspect of the teaching of Jesus that captures the reality of the kingdom of heaven is the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. That's the aspect that captures the reality of the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to explain what that means before we jump into the teaching that was captured in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. We're going to take it verse by verse so that you can understand the full scope of the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Meanwhile, what does it mean when we say the reality of the kingdom of heaven? It means the inward content of the kingdom of heaven. I'll explain that. The inward what? Content. You see, when you give your life to Christ, what changed was inside. It wasn't outside. Is that true? The wrinkles on your face were still there. The pimples were still there. Your accent was still there. Your height did not change. But everything changed on the inside. So the moment you give your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit begins to unravel the dynamics of what is obtainable in the kingdom of God, when you begin to align with God inwardly, something happens. When you begin to align with God, where? Inwardly. You begin to say yes. Lust came, you refuse it. Bribe came, you refuse it. All kinds of things came, you refuse it. When you begin to align with God inwardly, something happened. Can I show you? We're still on the reality of the kingdom of heaven, which is the inward content of the kingdom of heaven. So, in order to explain that, I need to take you to the book of Romans chapter 14. No, I didn't sleep yesterday night because I wanted to research everything that has to do with this subject.
so that you cannot use any scripture in the whole of the Bible to contradict any statement I make. So, if you want to study the Bible, it will take time. It will take nights of sleeplessness so that you can, okay, this is what the scripture says. You look for every scripture in the Bible that uses this word. And you read them. You understand. Then you go to the original language. Use all the words that connote that word. Say, oh, this is it. I see. So that's why it is like this in this scripture. That's why it's like this in this scripture. That's why it's like this in this scripture. That's why it's like this in this scripture. So it means that when we are talking about this, this is what we mean. Because I've read the 168 scriptures that has that word. Before I can conclude that this is the meaning. And go anywhere and study. Even use search engines. Use computer. Use iPad. To do. You will not find anything different. So that we can be sure. And we can be authoritative. In our deliverables. In the book of Romans. Chapter 14. Verse 17. We'll see the reality of the kingdom of heaven there. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, stay with me. How are you? You are far away. You did? All right, so I hope you know. You have heard the teaching of Jesus. He said, it's not that which goes into a man that defiles a man. It's that which comes out of a man that defiles a man. That's Jesus' teaching. If you check this list, the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink. You see, these are things that go into a man. The things that go into a man are not that powerful. So he now shows us the kingdom of heaven and the scope of the kingdom of heaven that is revealed in this scripture is the reality of the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink. It is in what? In righteousness and peace and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. It means, therefore, that if you are beginning to align yourself with the rule of heaven. What is righteousness? You are on the same page with God. On the same page with God. You are right in the eyes of God. You are where God wants you to be. All right? So, when you know internally what God wants and you decide to choose what God has chosen, you become right with Him. You become on the same page with Him. And when you are on the same page with Him, He administers something in order to give you proof that He is pleased with you. He gives you peace. All of these things I'm trying to describe are things that are contained in the inner content of the kingdom of heaven. They form part of what we call the reality of the kingdom of heaven. God will give you signs to show that you are in compliance with Him. Are you with me? My walk with God has been long, oh brother. Very long. And then God will now show me something. And He won't tell you that it will happen in 20 years. He won't also show you that Satan will also come to attempt to discourage you by ensuring that no money will be in your hand. And God will not fight Satan. Because He knows that what He has told you, if you follow it, it will come to pass. So there's no need to fight Satan. And Satan will begin to attempt to confuse you and to convince you that what God told you was a lie. Many times you will need to be foolish to continue following. It means that the lie that Satan was able to tell you, you saw that it was logical, but yet your heart followed. Many times that's the experience that you're going to have. Eventually, under the navigation of the Holy Spirit, through His instrument of peace and joy, He takes you from the wilderness, takes you from the desert, takes you from the sidelines, and He leads you into that which He had in mind they are inner instruments of navigation that God has in order to encourage you to continue on the journey, even though there is no physical evidence to prove that you are going anywhere. So that is why we need the inner content of the kingdom of heaven, because they are navigation tools that help you in your walk with God, that even though you have not yet arrived the place that God has promised, there are some inner navigation tools that will give you an idea that I'm on course with God. One of them is peace. So what I'm trying to tell you now is that the external things like meat and drink are not so important when you're working with God. When you're working with God, what really matters is if you know how to read the items on the control room, because your control room is inside. Is that clear? Now, I need to show you a few scriptures quickly. Few scriptures. Can we do Philippians? So, righteousness. You can write it down. Righteousness refers to integrity. It refers to virtue. It refers to purity of life. It refers to correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Sustaining the sense of alignment. Sense of being right with God, on the same page with God. Okay? So righteousness. And the righteousness that I speak of here, because a theologian might be in our midst, and the person may want to contend with me. If you have been around faith teachers, the aspect of righteousness that they emphasize is a righteousness that was imputed to us by Christ Jesus. In Nigeria, we use a debit card. How many of you have a debit card? That's what you call your ATM card. So we use a debit banking system. Are you here? And what I mean by a debit banking system is, if you don't have money in the account, your ATM is powerless. But unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know how to interpret it, in nations like the United States of America, you have a credit banking system. That means they give you money that you have not earned, so that you can begin to transact. All right? Then, after a while, when you start becoming productive, you begin to pay back. And when you start paying back and they see that you are credible, they'll give you license to borrow more. So the debt equation of nations like America, what's the last, do you have an idea of what it was 20 years ago? Because in 20 years ago, it was how many trillion US dollars? Because they operate what? A credit banking system. We operate what? So if there's no money in your account, we are on zero. Somebody went to the ATM machine and was speaking in tongues, hoping that that's not how it is done. The banking system is a debit system. Are you here? Now, in your Christian walk, can I explain to you? The moment you accepted Jesus Christ, an account was opened for you, and it was credit that was put there. A credit system. Alright, the day you gave your life to Christ, in the court of heaven, you were brought to that court, and because Jesus was inside of you, you were proclaimed discharged and acquitted, not because you are righteous, but on Jesus' credit. I'll explain. If you have an ATM card that is from Zenith Bank, if you slot it into a Zenith ATM machine, it will call your name. Say, Alphonsus, welcome. Even if you give your wife the ATM card and it goes there, the thing will not see your wife. It will still say, Alphonsus, welcome. So God will only accept Jesus. Jesus is the pattern man, the approved man. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. God will not accept you, will accept Jesus. So the reason why God accepts you is because Jesus is inside. So Jesus becomes the basis of your acceptance. That's a credit system. It's not because you brought anything to the table. You are not productive yourself, but your acceptance is based on the fact that you have Jesus. Are you following? Oh, you are not following me. You are not. Yeah, you are not.
So most faith teachers, that's where they stop on the subject of righteousness. So Christ is my righteousness. Because I have Christ in me, I have the audacity, the boldness to come before God. He will look at Christ, he will not look at me. How many of you still remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Still remember that? All right, let me give you an idea. Who was the beloved son of Isaac? His name was Esau. And in order for Jacob to come into Isaac's presence to ask for the birthright, he needed to come as Esau. Because that's the only person that Isaac will accept. So he put on Esau's clothing. His body odor was on the clothes. Because he was a hairy man, they put on some of the sheepskin so that he came as Esau. That was why he got a passcode into the heart of his father. You need to come as Jesus. That's how you come. And when the father looks upon you, he can identify Jesus. And because he sees Jesus in you, he gives you a passcode. So that's how your journey in God begins. It begins with credit, with a credit card. With that credit card, you can stand before God without inferiority. You can stand before God without condemnation. And that standing before God now gives you the right to be able to transact. Access is the first blessing of the possibilities of the new covenant. Access. Access. And all of that becomes your portion just because you have what? All right. Exactly. But that's not the end of the story. But most preachers stop there. And that's the understanding of righteousness that the average believer has. Then when you journey in the scriptures, you begin to see people like Apostle John, their perspective of righteousness is different from the credit mode type of righteousness. It is expected that, yes, you started with credit. And then as you grow in God, you are constituted in righteousness. You make choices to align, deliberate personal choices to align with the Holy Ghost. Alright? When you begin to do that, that righteousness that you receive initially as credit, your life is producing it now. Satan comes with a product, you refuse, you align with God. And it was you that exercised your will because you knew that that's the position of heaven on the matter. By so doing, you are representing God and you are beginning to invest. Your return on investment is coming to God because you are now walking in righteousness. Those are two different things. You receive credit for righteousness. It gives you the opportunity to stand before God without condemnation, without inferiority. So you are bold to come into the presence of God. That's what that credit does. And then you now decide that, yes, I'm going to side with the Holy Ghost as I relate with human life. There'll be many opportunities for you to become crooked. Many opportunities for you to become a creature of darkness. Many opportunities for you to begin to think like Satan. But you choose to operate like God. And it's a choice. And you'll be faced with that choice every day because Satan will bring his products through your life every day to get you to sell out. To get you to align with him. Oh! Many people here might say, okay, if I decide to align with God, I'm going to suffer setbacks. Suffer it. It's part of Christianity. Have you not heard of the scripture that says, such that are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Or the Christian life does not end. It's part of the Christian life is a willingness to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus. And we have had our fair share of suffering. And we indeed continue to suffer because of the name that we bear. And we are not ashamed of it. Nor ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. So we have made up our minds. I used to have a relative those days. He sleeps with palm wine and wakes up with palm wine, washes his face with palm wine. By 9 a.m. he's already drunk. And sometimes he'll begin to call the names of the ancestors with so much accuracy, you will know it's an inspiration. Nobody went to him to say, stop this life. But everybody was passing side comments about me because I was a follower of Jesus Christ. I knew it was not rational. I knew demons were responsible. And you know, the radical, I'm a radical. Oh my God. Oh. It is when you want to resist me that I will be stronger. Nobody talks to that guy. The guy drank one day and then he slept in the gutter and woke up. I said, the spirits of the land, they were with him. Hey, you need to see him. He's always spiritual. Always. He's high. Yeah. Nobody ever counseled him. Then when they saw I was a follower of Jesus Christ, everybody was on my case. But it's futility that I want to be part of. And I accepted that I was going to be a futile man to my own, at my own expense. Nobody can say that now. If you type my surname on Google, it's my name that comes out. Not even the name of my great father. My name, I'm the greatest ambassador of that clan. Yes. And I don't say that boastfully. Because it's not of him that will it. Of him that run it. But nobody can forget my name among them. Do you realize that they are looking for me now? Oh. Follow the Holy Ghost, my brother. Follow him. I walked in parched places. I walked in dry places. There was no money. I did not deny him. Women came and gave themselves to me naked. I said I was born for one purpose, to bear witness to the truth. And them that hear the truth listen to my voice. Hallelujah. I have refused such offers because the Holy Ghost said of otherwise. Exactly. So at first, there's credit. But you are supposed to grow in that constitution. God will not take that credit away because it's through Jesus that you can still stand before God every day. But you are growing in your alignment with the Holy Spirit to the point where you can make choices at juicy things that come from this age to attract your attention and to derail you from your commitment to God. And you say, no. The Bible speaking about Moses said that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the pleasure of sin, which is for a moment. It's a choice. But when you see the choice he made, you will say he's a Jew. Say, yeah, man. But it was the Holy Ghost inside of him that was teaching him. And he believed the Holy Ghost. He trusted the Holy Spirit. He was willing to suffer the contradiction of men in order for him to find inner ventilation in the context of the reality of the kingdom of heaven. So what will you choose today? Because the moment you choose righteousness to stand on the same page with the Holy Ghost, he does something quickly. He gives you peace. Peace is like the anchor of the umpire, the witness of the monarch, the statement of the king that is ministered into your vessel, so that you will know that even though circumstances did not change, you have the king's pleasure. Are you there in the book of Philippians chapter 4? Please help me tell your neighbor, we live from inside out. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, we live from inside out. So the first aspect of the kingdom of heaven talks about the reality of the kingdom of heaven. The inner content. It talks about the workings of the spirit as he administers the pleasure of God concerning your life. How many of you have lost your peace before? You did something and then you lost your peace. In the kingdom, losing your peace is a serious matter. Because we are living, our instrumentation for navigation is inner. So when you lose your peace, it's bad. So in order for me to recover my peace, sometimes I had to go to my wife and say, I'm so sorry. Even though when I was telling her, I was dying. I'm sorry. So sorry. And sometimes it will take you 3 days to be able to say sorry. I'm so, Makayo Basite. So sorry. so sorry. And the reason why you are telling her sorry is not because she deserves the sorry. That's the only way. That's the only way you can reconcile with the Holy Ghost. And you need, I'm telling, you know me, I'm an open book. If I miss it somewhere, I will tell you. I will say, I looked at something that is bad. I will come here and tell you. You know why? I want my soul to be free. Yes. So that the day I sleep, before I sleep, angels will come and say, we know you. We were sent for you. How many more days do you want to finish? Yeah. How many more days? I want to be true. I read about Paul, Apostle Paul. In my own opinion, I believe I am called to continue his ministry. Apostle Paul. You may not believe that. You are relieved from believing that. But I believe that. I should be able to say in my lifetime, I have finished my course. I finished it. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. What happens next? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind in Christ. This is the inner membrane, the inner content. There is a ministry of peace to show that indeed you have won. You have won not from the perspective of this age, but you have won from the perspective of God. Sometimes people will be insulting you, but that you are a Jew guy. But inside, there's so much ventilation. It means that the perspective of the world is different from the perspective of God. So the kingdom, there's a peace element, an inner peace element that is suggestive of the fact that God is pleased, that God has opened it, that God has given you the victory. Nothing changed in the natural, but is a reality of the kingdom of heaven. And that peace is enough for me. For a kingdom man, if you lose your peace, it's an emergency. You need to shut down everything. Because those are the navigation systems that suggest that you are in alignment. I preached before, and all of you heard me, and meanwhile, I made a statement and I lost my peace. I still moved in power, in miracles. But I knew that I had cause to settle with God. While you were hailing me, I was going to cry. Because the truth is not in your hailing. The truth is in the inner content. The reality of the kingdom of God. When you are tempted and the temptation shakes you, that's not what God is not so surprised that he shook you. He's surprised rather that when he shook you, you didn't acknowledge that you were weak. Because the moment you acknowledge, strength will come. You are not that strong, sister. I know you are looking calm and calculated, but you are not that strong. You are not that strong. And God knows, and every one of us should know, that it is not by power. It is not by might. There is an inner economy of kingdom's agenda that is going on in your life. So, peace is a proof that God is pleased. There is another element there. It's called joy. Joy. And if you know anything about joy, we were in school those days in deep poverty. There was no food because, have you been there? Deep, terrible poverty, but there was something we could not explain. There was joy in our spirit. And the wise man says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. If God wants to give you the ability to keep on keeping on, when there is no reason why you should be keeping on, what does he do? He gives you the strength of God. God just expresses joy in your vessel. And it becomes enough motivation to keep you running. The inner content of the kingdom of God is something I need to teach you. So that you will not look to the stars for strength. You will not look to the wind for enablement. But you will look to him that dwells on your inside. For the joy of the Lord that is within you becomes your motivation. In this place, we have widows, but you will not know. They are looking happy and all of that. The life of a widow is not a simple life. You need to be injected with an anesthesia to live every day. And the anesthesia that I speak of here is called the joy. Now, call my sister, call her. How many years have you been a widow? 6. If I never told you she was a widow, you would not know. Everything felt like a pack of cards. It was as if there was no tomorrow. And then Jesus creeps in. And then he enlarges himself by administering joy. And then from hopelessness, a window of hope will begin to open. He said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. So the way of kingdom people is the way of prayer. When you become confused, when anxiety begins to bite hard at you, when situations are contrary, we make our request known to God. That's our stronghold. Prayer is the heaviest molecule of the Christian life. And as you begin to attend to it, oh my, he said, the peace of God. If you want to ask, how did we survive? How did we get here? It's the inner content of the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is not in meat and in drink, but in righteousness, in peace, and in the joy of the Holy Ghost. Once upon a time, we're still in that the other place before we came here. I think we were like 13 years old, and Satan came to me. I said, see what you are doing with your life. He showed me pictures of my abilities in the past. I said, now, based on these pictures, are you supposed to be here? Claim that you are doing one thing called ministry. The argument was so thorough that I did not have any answer for him. All I did was that I spoke in tongues for long. He said, be anxious for nothing. I spoke in tongues for long, for 5 days, to get my courage back. It was a mind-bending spirit, very intelligent. He knows how to show visions and to make you look foolish. Meanwhile, it was just 2 weeks after that time that we got a breakthrough. Now, if that moment had seized me, I would have believed that what the devil said was true, and it would have become true in my life, and what God told me would have become a lie. 5 days of warfare as I battled with the spirit that was struggling to sow a seed in my thoughts and to get me to believe his lie. After the 5th day, there was ventilation. I woke up with ventilation because I would pray in the day, pray in the afternoon, pray in the night. Pray in the day, pray in the afternoon, pray in the night. Pray in the day. Then I slept after prayer. When I woke up in the morning, I woke up late. And my friend, who is a prophet, now called me. He said, I just saw you. You were riding on a horse and you were preaching. And the message you were preaching was about the kingdom of God. And you rode the horse to my office and you refused to stop. Come down from the horse. You preached and you took off again, and the horse had speed. You see, I don't understand fully what this thing means, but preach now. That was during COVID. That was why I preach every day, because of that prophecy. And as I was preaching, police came to arrest me twice. I didn't stop preaching because I heard it loud. He said, what? Oh, preach now. Preach now. We were only 12 people in the room. The governor said minimum of 15. The room was big. It's a former hall. But police came with handcuff to come and pick me. You would think I would stop. After they left, I continued my preaching. They came the next day again. They came after like 5 days again too. It was obvious that our neighbor was calling them, that they are doing something here. They are doing something. Why was he calling them? He claimed that he brought his mother from the village for treatment, and we were doing night vigil, and that our prayer killed his mother. Akabwa. Well, I will never tell the whole story. I will never tell it. Because he's not wrong. He's not very wrong. He's wrong, but not very wrong. When you go and bring someone that is loaded with weapons, and we destroy weapons. Loaded with weapons, and you bring the person into the vicinity. We had sanitized the place. Darkness was already neutralized, can't operate. And she attempted an activity. And that was the end of it. So he said, we kill this mother. So any prayer meeting we hold there, he calls the police to come and arrest. Do you know that for 11 years the man didn't know me? Didn't know that I was the pastor. For 11 years. He thought the pastor was Matthew. You know Matthew? And so he was discussing with Matthew for 11 years. It was one day that I wore cap. Why did I even wear that cap? So he now figured out, okay, we're going on a trip. So I wore a cap and came out. That was when he knew 11 years later. You know, nobody knew who Jesus was. They asked Judas to go and kiss him so that they can identify him. He looked like every one of them. The prayer neutralized darkness. And the effect was somebody died. So that was where the enmity came from. We'll call police and say, he's preaching. Come on. But the prophecy had already gone forth. Preach now. I kept on preaching every day. On the 80th day, they brought a cripple. I prayed for that lady. Most of you were there. And the lady walked. That was what the whole world saw. A prophet is rising from Africa. And people began to send money. Send money. That money they started sending didn't stop until we built this place. Imagine if I didn't obey, we'll still be there, battling with that man. The inner content of the kingdom of God is the navigating system that God makes available so that you can survive your journey through the valley of the shadow of death. Can you rise up? As we pray together, you will not lose your way. The lamp of the Lord's light will be your guiding light as it shines within your vessel. Can you ask him for grace to look to the lamp that burns within you so that by it you will survive the seasons? Saimoteliko satabura capelaito. Brisco fella mantala, cupresco fati mongele. Brecotomina cuse salico, brasca bacapa cudimalato vina salibaira capataso. Ando borosque sasilo montalig la brata babocoto musa letuala. Aprisa. La brokeva ratos kiso salabondame brakata babode nazika bresko fatua la mantale brabeba kontes keto boroto sika planta babuka batwa amero kasila bronte meneketeli. Thank you, Lord. Turn your Bible to the book of Job. Maybe the technical people will help us. Job chapter 29 verse 1. Job 29 verse 1. That's the prayer verse I want to leave with you. He said, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me. How were those days? He said, his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Job has backslidden, and he spoke about his days of glory.
He said there was such a time when the candle of God shined upon my head, and by the light thereof I walked through darkness. If the inner content of the kingdom of God is active on your life, the candle will always shine, and through its illumination you will be able to navigate even through the thickest and the blackest of darkness. Can we pray that this experience that Job was recalling will never be an experience of the past, but it will be an everyday reality. When his candle shined upon my head, and by his light I walk through darkness. The darkness of the age of our generation, we walk through it because there is a secret light that is giving us illumination. We walk through darkness. 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 Esosalamatuai. That the candle light will not go out. The inner illumination will not be put out. That the hand of God on your life will not dwindle. He will give you guidance through the wilderness, through the desert. He will shed his light so that you can survive darkness. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. No day of darkness, because you can walk through darkness. The candle will shine. The candle will shine. The candle will shine. The candle will shine. Thank you, Lord.